Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Parkmanship Podcast. My name is Ryan, and I'm also with my co-host, Andrew. Andrew, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you today, Ryan?
Doing pretty well. So before we get into the meat of this episode, we just have a brief announcement. On the last episode, we announced our viewer choice poll, where you have to pick between three locations. Those are Springfield Armory, Governor's Island, and the Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River. Voting is still going on that. By the time you probably listen to this episode, voting still might be going on. Voting ends this Monday, November 15th. So if you want to vote, just look on our Facebook or Twitter or Instagram feeds, and you'll find posts to vote there. So far, the Upper Delaware River is winning. So please get your votes in. They're due this upcoming Monday, November 15th.
Yep. All right. So our first thing we're going to hop right into is our story of the week. Ryan, what you got for this week?
So yeah, some pretty big news. Chuck Sams, who is the nominee to be the National Park Service Director, received a voice vote in the U.S. Senate Energy Committee this past week to be the first National Park Service Director since January of 2017. So the Park Service is going through a lot, and it's kind of sad that we haven't had anybody leading the department since 2017. Both, hopefully Chuck Sams will be approved. It's looking very likely. He would be the first Native American National Park Service Director. And in this subcommittee, no one voiced opposition during the voice vote. So it's very likely that he will get approved once he goes to the full Senate. In fact, there was two major senators on the committee, Senators Barrasso and Daines, who announced their support for him very vocally. So it's looking likely. And by the time we do another episode, we may have a National Park Service Director finally.
Yep. Speaking of legislation, we just had that infrastructure, I believe, bill passed, correct? That like $1 trillion package to improve the country's infrastructure. And yep, that's the national park system is to benefit from that tremendously. The investment's going to be in 423 national parks. Great Smoky Mountains is mentioned in it. The bridge needs repairs and efforts to keep black bears and drivers safe. There's been a lot of road work that I've seen at national parks recently. We waited, an hour to go a mile?
Yeah, it was really bad.
It was brutal. But the roads in the National Park Service are going to, which is much needed, because some of the national parks have really good roads, some have some terrible roads. That's for a later date to discussion on, favorite drives, I guess, would be our top three. Once we do
that'd be
enough.
A good one.
Yeah, it would be. All right.
But yeah, that infrastructure bill is pretty interesting. Like one of the things I read about talking about a park that I think we talked about last week in the Santa Monica Mountains, part of the bill is going to establish wildlife crossings, which is a thing that supporters of the Santa Monica Mountains have been asking for the mountain lions, because there's very little room for the mountain lions to go without crossing a highway, which they're most likely going to get hit by a car.
Yeah, that drive is terrifying, personal opinion. It is all ridge roads and sheer cliffs.
Oh, that one road was fun. Not a highway, but that was a fun drive.
Yeah. All right. Take a look at our main topic of the week. Ryan, what's our main topic of the week?
Our main topic is our trip to the Southern Florida National Parks that we went on a few years ago in Southern Florida. So that's pretty much Miami and further down south from Miami. There's four national park sites, and those are Everglades, Big Cypress, Biscayne, and Dried Tortugas.
Yep.
So we flew down, I think in like a late March, a couple years ago. Was the time of year we went?
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
somehow we missed the spring break traffic.
Yeah, we got very lucky.
Yeah.
But yeah, we flew in from JFK and went straight into Miami Airport. And I don't really remember much about the flight in, other than I remember you had the window seat.
It was great.
Yeah. And I remember towards the end of the flight, I did see, despite my bad vantage point, a bunch of crystal clear water that got me excited.
Yeah, I think we landed, I want to say like mid-afternoon. So it was like, it wasn't too hot. But Miami Airport was a little hard to navigate on the way out, my opinion, on the way out. But yeah, then we hopped in the rental car from Miami down straight to our first national park.
Yeah, which is Biscayne National Park. It's only about a 45-minute drive from the Miami airport, so pretty close. And Biscayne is a park that preserves aquamarine waters, so like turquoise waters, coral reefs, numerous islands and keys. And it's a park that's mostly underwater, which makes it a bit hard to travel to. And there's only really just one strip on the mainland, which is where we went to.
Yep. It is located, I think it's in Homestead, Florida, or just outside.
Yeah, just outside of Homestead, Florida. Homestead, Florida is definitely the gateway town for that park.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that in a minute here. But no, yep. The Biscayne National Park Visitor Center is very nice. I got my pin set there for the four national parks. You got your stamps there.
Yep.
It had an overlook.
It did.
I think it had a dock for boats. I don't remember if there were boat tours.
There were boat tours, but we didn't have enough time to go on them because we got there pretty late in the afternoon.
That's what happened. Yeah, yep. Saw some wildlife there.
Yes. That was later in the trip. We'll get to that on part two.
Oh, that's right. That it was later in the...
Actually, no, there was wildlife. We did see this on the first time we went.
Yeah.
We did the what's called the Convoy Point Trail, which is the trail that goes along the one strip of land there. Mm-hmm. And I do remember seeing some quite a few lizards and some crabs as well.
Yep. It's a very narrow path, to be honest. For sure. With you. Yeah. I mean, it was good. You saw the coastline of Miami from the end point.
Yeah, great view of the skyline.
Yep, great view of the skyline. Definitely recommend it. I'm pretty sure you can dive there and like do, I think they have like the, I think off the boat tours, they do stuff like scuba and stuff. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Not in that specific area, but once you get
out.
And then I think they also have like the clear bottom boats
that you tours, can look at
all the wildlife underneath the water.
Yeah. I've done those once down in Key West when I was little. They were pretty fun. I think the walk on the trail was good.
Yeah, it was a good introductory course to the entire ecosystem, I thought. Like, this is the first time I saw mangroves.
Yeah, mangroves I think are kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a very unique tree.
Yeah. So the roots kind of, like, go in the water, and they kind of, like, place themselves out. So it's kind of weird.
Yep.
That was located in, which I think we should talk about.
Yeah. I mean, my thoughts on Homestead, which is essentially the gateway town to both Biscayne National Park and Everglades National Park, I would describe it as very Florida manny.
It's not great.
it's very white trash.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm going to go with horrible because I remember seeing trash littered all over the sidewalks.
And yeah.
Like on the side of the roads because we passed like a palm plantation and they're just like garbage. I distinctly remember seeing a bathtub tossed on the side of the road and a mattress.
Yeah, I saw much worse things than that. I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah. But I think that was the one that really kind of came to mind. We stayed in said gateway town. We stayed at a Garden Inn. I distinctly remembered that I could stick four fingers underneath the door because there was that large of a gap.
Yeah, I noticed it was not an ideal hotel, so I just had a few Stellas and just enjoyed my time.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the only channel on in that TV or on that TV was the wrestling.
Yep.
Yeah, because we watched WWE.
It's a lot of fun once you have a few beers.
Yeah. We did go out to eat that night.
Yeah, so we went to an Italian restaurant that I actually enjoyed.
We've been to a lot of terrible Italian restaurants, like the one in California with the guy who had like a fake accent and the terrible mural.
Yeah.
This one
I wouldn't classify this as terrible.
No, like, but it wasn't like, you know, good Italian food compared to, you know, where we live, you know, because we're kind of close to New York City and New York State.
I mean, I would actually compare I got penne with meat sauce, and I would compare it favorably to some of the restaurants in this area.
Did we go there twice or once?
Twice.
Didn't you get pizza one of the times?
Maybe.
I remember.
The restaurant, by the way, is called Mamma Mia.
Yep. It was in the nicer part of Homestead, but it was still Homestead.
Yep.
Yeah, I got really nothing nice to say about Homestead. Like, I'm trying, but I got nothing.
Yeah,
that was pretty much day one.
Definitely one of my least favorite gateway towns I've been to.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was like kind of because we went and got snacks at Walmart, and that was an experience within itself. Because they had a super long.
We went shopping for the week ahead.
Yeah, we went to Walmart, which was something else down there. It was like a mix of like trash town and like every like shopping thing, like necessity you could think of, like store wise, was there.
No, it was definitely a place where you could become a Florida man news article at any moment.
Yeah.
It was very white trashy.
Well, we didn't stay there long, so that was day one. And favorite part of day one, I think, was not being in Homestead for me.
My favorite part was probably walking towards. So Biscayne had like two park signs you get a picture with, but there was the one with like the fish mural attached to it.
Oh, yeah, it was really cool. I remember that.
Yeah. So when I went to go get my picture taken, you just saw like a bunch of lizards scatter away. I thought that was the coolest part.
Yep.
Nice sign with a bunch of cool wildlife right next door.
Yeah. From there, we took off to the first big park. Well, the bigger park of the, because Biscayne's mostly underwater.
Yeah. So this was probably the biggest national park we went to, or it was. And that's Everglades National Park. And Everglades National Park is a large wetland at the base of Florida that provides habitat for rare animals and plant life. And it's very much like going on an American safari when you go there. There's just so much wildlife to see.
Yep. Getting to the park was an adventure. It's pretty out there. I remember losing service as soon as you hit the park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely remote.
Yep. First visitor center we hit, very nice. Had a very nice wraparound deck. It's the wildlife on.
Yeah, it was called the Ernest F. Cove Visitor Center. It's the main visitor center. It's right at the start of the park road, the main park road.
Mm-hmm.
And it has dioramas on wildlife. A nice gift shop. I bought a pretty interesting book from there at one point.
I remember that.
We went to this visitor center multiple times. And then, yeah, the outdoor deck, you could watch birds go around from the wetland that it's surveying.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Yep. It had some pretty good rocking chairs, if I remember correctly.
It did.
Yep. From there, we hopped back in the car. And we hit some of the stuff because there were some, you know, trails and loops on the way. We should probably talk about the first one we did, because that one's kind of a unique stop, in my opinion. Like, kind of unique to any national park.
Yeah, so the the first trail that you get to, it's really not that far from the visitors, the main visitor center, is called the Anhinga Trail. And this trail has lots of wildlife. When we went there, we saw alligators, we saw herons, we saw soft-shell turtles, we saw Florida gar, we saw egrets, and a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. You're also supposed to cover your car with a tarp.
Yeah, so when you park your car at the parking lot for this trail, they give you tarps to place over your car because there's a bunch of vultures there that will try to eat the rubber off of your car.
Yeah, so, it's some.
Yeah, so when we literally parked, there was already vultures attacking one of the cars. So we quickly got the tarp on ours. And then after we were done, we did two trails here. We didn't do just the Anhinga Trail. We did another one. Once when we were done with both, we came back and we noticed the vultures were trying to take the tarp off of our car.
Yeah, I mean, they were also kind of eating the Jeep that didn't put their tarp on. And they're known to eat the rubber off windshield wipers and such. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that trail was pretty cool. I got pretty close to an alligator.
Yeah, we have video of that one alligator approaching us.
Yep.
Well, we'll post that.
And there's some pretty good bird photos from that trail, too.
Yep, it's named after the Anhinga bird, which is really common on the trail.
I think I got a photo of it, or you got a photo of it. I think we both did.
We both did. There was tons of them there.
Yep. Then from there, we got back in the car and we hit... Was it Gumbo Limbo first?
I don't know. Like, these kind of all meld together because most of them... So we did the Gumbo Limbo Trail, the Pahayoki Trail, the Mahogany Hammock Trail, and the West Lake Boardwalk Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those besides the West Lake Boardwalk Trail are there to showcase a certain type of plant life. But I do remember, like, the one that stuck out the most to me was the Mahogany Hammock Trail, just because you could climb some of the trees there.
Yep, have a photo of you climbing trees.
Yep, it was fun.
Yeah, I think that was the one with the palm trees, wasn't it? With the weird boardwalk around them?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I think out of, like, the major trails we hit, I think my favorite might have been that one because it, like, was just kind of random to see palm trees in the middle of where we were because it was, like, you know, a marshy, swampy area.
Yeah.
And that same day, we exited the park, right?
Yeah, we briefly exited the park.
Yeah. We went to Miami Brewing Company. Really cool place.
Yep.
It's like in a giant industrial warehouse. It's the best place to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty typical brewery in the middle of the jungle, pretty much.
Yeah, because they had a lot of things to do. I remember them having pool tables. They had pinball. They had some other, like, arcade game cabinets there, too. Nice little bar. We had a pretty good beer there called Shark Bait. Bite?
Yep.
Shark Bait.
Shark Bait.
It was like a tropical fruit-flavored beer. It was really good.
Yep. Yeah. Mango.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was really good. I brought some home.
Yeah, I remember the coolest thing about this place was if you bought a pint, you got to keep the pint glass.
Oh, that's right. Didn't you bring one home?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty great. Yeah.
So, yeah, after we stopped at the Miami Brewing Company, we went right back onto the park road and continued all the way to the end of it, to the Flamingo area. Before we got into Flamingo proper, I had to stop to do an actual hiking trail.
I slept in the car.
Yep. So quickly, I'll go over the Snake Bite Trail, which the Snake Bite is named Bite as in the geographical feature and not as in the use of a mouth. But I will say this is one of the very few trails I've ever gotten scared by snakes, because I just went in without a walking stick thinking I'd be fine. And I remember almost stepping on a big snake, and it must have been like 5 feet. And I was like, okay, I got to keep a lookout. And then like a little bit further down the trail, I saw a blue snake, like a color I've never seen before, just dart away. I was like, okay, I'm scared now.
That sounds terrifying.
Oh yeah. I completed the hike though, so all good.
Completed on all trails?
Oh yeah.
That's the most important part. Yeah. I will say All Trails is a fantastic app if you don't have it already.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Ryan could speak to it more.
Yeah, it's where I track all of my hikes. If you have the pro version, you can download all of if you download your hikes beforehand, you can use the app without having any service. So it's very helpful. It can be used as a map while you're hiking.
Yep. Then we ended up in Flamingo Campground. Unfortunately, the visitor center there was closed for renovations. And it looked like it was going to be a really good visitor center, too, once it did reopen.
Yeah, this area has been devastated by quite a few hurricanes. So they only had like a temporary trailer that worked as a visitor center. Very basic, just had a couple things you can buy and then some information. But yeah, they were still rebuilding the visitor center. They were still rebuilding a restaurant, and they were working on a new hotel. So it's definitely an area you might want to check out if you go now, because I think the visitor center is definitely open. And I believe the hotel is open, but not yet the restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, it's about 50, 60 miles in the park.
It's deep into the park.
So it's really necessary, because you don't want to travel in and out if you're camping for food.
Yeah.
Ryan, what did we see at Flamingo's little dock area?
Yeah, so there's also a marina where you can buy camping supplies and food, or some basic more camping food. And they have docks there. And we went there to go check it out. And we looked out from the docks, and we noticed what we thought were a couple of rocks until we realized they were moving a bit slowly because they were manatees.
Yep. Highlight of the day, I think, for me.
Oh, yeah, super cool experience, because not many people get to see manatees.
It was on Manatee Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was on, on Manatee Appreciation Day. What are the odds of that?
Yeah, I remember that distinctively. You were very excited about it.
Oh, so excited. It's such a coincidence.
Yeah. I think that was my favorite part of day two.
Yeah, but anyways... we camped there at Flamingo Campground, which was pretty cool. A nice open area next to the water, because this part of the Everglades is pretty close to the ocean. It was a little bit windy, but otherwise very beautiful. We had we even had a coconut tree on our campsite.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's we try and do camping sometimes when we go on our trips. We did there. You've done Acadia.
Yeah.
We tried to do Joshua Tree, but they were all booked. Is that the case?
Yeah. And then we did do Santa Monica Mountains.
Yep. Yep. That was pretty cool. I think that's my favorite day day two was the manatee.
Same here. That was my favorite part as well of day two. Just such a unique experience. Not many people get to see manatees in the wild.
Yeah. That brings us to our third day of the trip, where we headed out of the park towards Big Cypress. We did some early morning bird watching, though.
Yeah, before we left the Everglades, I did some bird watching at Eco Pond, which is in the Flamingo area. And I did get to see some roseate spoonbills, which are such a beautiful animal. They look just like a flamingo. So they're that pink color, really cool. I got to see white ibis, which is the bird I wanted to see the most, just because I heard so much about them. I saw a ton on this trip. Unfortunately, I did not get to see any wood stork, which is one of the more famous birds in the park. And someone ragged on me for that the entire trip.
It wasn't me, I promise.
Yeah, the only Woodstock I ended up seeing this trip was in the diorama at the visitor center.
Yep. We did some auto touring Big Cypress.
Yeah, so Big Cypress National Preserve is pretty much an extension of the Everglades, but it's a national preserve, so there are much less regulations on hunting and gas and oil exploration. And there's a road that goes through it called the Tam Miami Trail, and that's how we enjoyed most of the park that day, was doing an auto tour on that.
Yeah, speaking of Big Cypress, there's an article on National Parks Traveler. They want to crack down on the oil industry in Big Cypress, I'm pretty sure is the gist of the article. Change regulations and stuff, which I found pretty cool.
Yeah, I have to look into that because it sounds like a smart move.
Yeah. Big Cypress is also home to the Gator Hook Trail.
Yeah, so the Gator Hook Trail was, I would describe it as a lot of fun until it was not.
Was it the part where we got stuck in mud?
Yeah, so it's a trail that actually goes underwater at like halfway through. And unfortunately for me, I made the mistake of starting off with my trail runners on instead of my water shoes. Obviously, I should have started off with my water shoes on from the beginning and not use my trail runners. But I got to the point where I was in the water and I had nowhere to put my trail runners, which were covered in mud. I just had to tie them onto my backpack, which wasn't really working that much. And I couldn't put them in the backpack because they would just ruin my backpack. So I had to cut the trail short on that one. But I enjoyed it otherwise, because it truly is a water trail, a water hiking trail. You hike through water. So a unique ecosystem. I saw a snake, don't know what type of snake it was. And then I saw a couple of ibises in the water. So very secluded, very interesting hike that unfortunately you turned around much earlier than I did on.
Yeah, because I ruined or destroyed a pair of shoes because I did not have trail shoes.
Yeah, you need water shoes for this one, which yeah. We did not. I had water shoes but didn't wear them until halfway through. We made that mistake.
I bought water shoes later in the trip for Tri Tortugas. Then we ended up at Oasis and Reed Visitor Center.
So yeah, Big Cypress has two visitor centers. There's the Oasis Center, and then there's the Reed Visitor Center. And we do have an interesting story about that one, because we went to the Oasis Visitor Center, which is the one closer to the main side of the Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
And we were telling the ranger there about how we wanted to go hiking, and we're like, we're going to do Gator Hook. And the ranger's like, oh, here's some walking sticks. So we're like, we'll take those. So we finish up with what we did of the trail, and then we make our way to the Reed Visitor Center, and we return the sticks to the ranger there, and the ranger's like, well, where'd you go hiking? And we went to the Gator Hook Trail, and he tells us, oh, I see water moccasins every time I do that trail. Water moccasins are a really poisonous snake. It's like, oh, why didn't the ranger worry about that when he gave it to us?
You know, it wouldn't be a vacation without, you know, some danger in it.
Yeah. So I'm guessing the snake I saw was a water moccasin. I don't know, though, but that's what my guess is.
That's terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
We ate at a weird restaurant that day, too.
Yeah. After the visitor center, we did go down to the other side of the Everglades on the Everglades City. And that's the Everglades Gulf Coast area, which, once again, a lot of that was being reconstructed from hurricane damage. But we went to a cafe there called the Island Cafe.
Yep.
The fish and chips were subpar, I thought.
Is that the place that had gator on the menu?
Yeah, the gator bites.
Yeah. It was a weird family-owned restaurant. I mean, it was good. It was definitely like not somewhere I would go again.
Oh yeah, definitely. I wouldn't go back.
Yeah. Like, it was good for finding food options in that area.
Yep.
Yeah, it was something. Favorite part of Dave 3, Ryan?
I do just want to mention that on the Tamiami Trail Road, there's two like roadside parks where you can just park your car and just have a picnic or something. And they're the Kirby Storter Roadside Park and H.P. Williams Roadside Park. And I forget which one we went to, but we went to one of them. And there was just tons of gators just hanging out on the river there. Like, perfect gator watching area.
I think it was the one closer to the Miami side, wasn't it?
Probably. Actually, it might have been closer to the Everglades City side that we went to.
Well, maybe you're right. We tried
to end the day by camping at Midway Campground, which is a campground in Big Cypress, but it was super sketchy, and it was way more RV-oriented, so we just made a last-minute hotel switch.
Yeah. I remember distinctly telling Ryan that day that when we pulled into that, I was like, this is not gonna be a good place to camp. It gave off something I can't explain.
Yeah. But yeah, my favorite part of day three was probably the Gator Hook Trail, even though we didn't finish it. I thought the water landscape was a really interesting hike for the most part. I couldn't complete it though.
No, I can agree with that. It's one of the more interesting trails you've found.
Yes.
What was your
favorite part?
I gotta agree with you on that one.
Okay.
Even though I didn't fully complete it, it was definitely a weird trail that I've been on with you. We've done some weird trails, but that one's kind of weird. Like not as weird as the one where you found a trail on all trails for Joshua Tree that led to a weird abandoned mine shaft.
Oh, that's a discussion for another episode, but I actually didn't find that on all trails.
So we just wandered the desert?
Yep.
Oh, great. All right.
You're welcome.
Thanks. All right. Moving on. Shark Valley.
Yeah, so this was day four. We went back to the Everglades, but we went to the Shark Valley portion of the Everglades. And this is a much more front country experience. For instance, we rented bikes there. That's all we did was we did a bike ride.
They have motor tours.
Tram tours.
Yeah, they're infested with children.
Yeah, renting a bike seems like a way cooler option.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because I haven't been on a bike since then, and I don't think the last time I was on a bike when I was like 8, and I was like 25 at the time when we did that.
Yeah, I'm somewhat similar to you, and it was super easy too. All we did was just walk up to the rental guy and paid for it right there, and got our bikes within 2 minutes.
Yep, it was interesting because first off the bat, alligator in the middle of the road.
No, it wasn't. The first thing we saw were the roaring alligators on the side of the road.
Oh, that's right. And then I went up a little bit ahead and there were alligators on the road.
Yeah, I regret not getting video of the roaring alligators, but someone like just sped away as soon as we heard that. Was so I had to catch up.
Oh, it was me.
Yep.
Yeah, that place had a lot of alligators, a lot of wildlife.
Yeah, I also remember at one point, like midway through, we had like a little race. Yes, and I was so focused on beating you, I actually almost ran over an alligator.
Yep. I mean, that was a lot of fun. I mean, I think the coolest thing is you're cycling and you see the structure pop out of the distance.
Yeah, so at the end of this bike/tram road, there's this huge tower that you can walk all the way up to and get a really good view of the landscape. And you can just see tons of alligators and turtles and birds from the tower.
I'm pretty sure you're allowed to hike it.
You are. It's a long hike though. It's 15 miles.
Yeah. So biking's definitely the easier option.
It's the premier option, I think.
Yeah. Tram tours are like okay, but they're literally infested with school groups.
Yep.
But yeah, that had a pretty good view.
Yeah.
kind of over like the swampy area, and it also had some views of the mangroves too.
Yep.
Did it start pouring while we were on there, or is that when we got back?
No, we lucked out. Like, as soon as we returned the rental bikes, it started to rain.
Yeah.
So, like, the only time we got hit by rain was when we were trying to check out the visitor center.
Yeah, I remember we rewarded ourselves with ice cream.
Yep.
You got a Snickers bar and I got a Twix bar, and it was pretty great.
Yep. But yeah, this Shark Valley is definitely the most accessible area of Everglades. If you only have one day to do the Everglades, definitely go there.
There are a lot of there. A lot of airboat tour places, like tourist traps.
Oh yeah, tons yeah, on the way.
Just avoid those, personal opinion.
Yeah, just by going to the parts of Everglades that you can drive to, you're going to see tons of wildlife like gators anyway.
Yeah, support the park, don't support.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, after we were finished with Shark Valley, we kind of went to a hole in the wall type of restaurant called Hole in the Wall Pub and Grill.
Yeah, it was probably the best restaurant of the early trip, hands down.
Okay.
I mean,
Remember? Like, I got a burger.
It was a barbecue place. Like, they had like big portions.
Did they?
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere was cool. They had baseball. I think it was baseball or something on the TV that you were watching.
Yeah.
No, I think it was pretty cool. Because we were like looking for food. And I think I told you I found a hole in the wall. And you asked for the name. And I repeated it was Hole in the Wall. And you're like, yeah, I get that. But what's the name of the the restaurant? It was like an Elvis and Costello bit. Who's on? Ryan, you there?
I lost you for a second.
Okay. That's fine. I don't know what happened. But yeah, Hole in the Wall is very Hole in the Wall-y.
Yeah, that was okay. I got a burger. I forget how it was. Yeah. And I had beer. So I was fine.
Yep. That kind of brings us to the halfway point in our of this two-part episode.
Yeah, so I think we're just going to talk about what our favorite part was on day four and conclude and pick up on the next episode, the second half of our trip. So, Andrew, what was your favorite part of day four?
I think the bike ride. It was something we haven't done before and I would recommend doing again.
Yeah, my favorite part in general was just us goofing around on the bikes. Like, we were constantly racing, taking pictures, doing poses.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. We were just goofing off.
Yeah, I think every time we've rented like a bike or a scooter, it's been a real blast because we did that in DC around the National Mall and we raced around there.
Yep, it's a lot of fun if you get a chance to rent something with wheels on it.
Yeah, it puts a new perspective on the scene of the park, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, on to the final segment of this episode, which is our top three list. And this week we're doing our top three favorite wildlife encounters at a national park site. So, Andrew, what are your top three favorite wildlife encounters?
I think this is a very good, first off, I think this is a very good question for the way to end based on where we are. Yep. Or were. First one, number three. I really have to think about this. Number three is the black bear in Glacier that we saw at like 6 o'clock in the morning. That was like not even 20 feet away from us.
Yep. We got super close.
Yep. Number two has to be the alligators at the Anhinga Trail. Cause I got kind of close.
Okay.
Number one is definitely the manatee. It's like one of the most unique creatures I've seen.
Good picks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mine would be probably number three. I think there's a clear two. And then third was kind of hard for me to pick, but I'm going to go with the coral reefs at Dry Tortugas. Just such a cool spectacle to see. And, it's a dying species, so it's very cool to see it up close. Number two were the grizzly bears at Glacier. Like specifically, I'm talking about, you weren't there for it, but on my second day there, I was with my mom and we kind of just tracked a grizzly bear mother and cub in our car for probably like an hour. And it was just a cool experience just watching these grizzly bears go about. But number one for me is once again, the manatee at Everglades. Such a rare and unique animal. And not many people get to say they've seen manatees in the wild, but we have.
This is true. We have. I think I want to give a special shout out to it wasn't at a national park, but at Key West, we were sitting at the pier and we saw that big ass grouper.
Oh yeah, that thing was big.
Yeah, it was a very big fish. All right. I think that concludes this episode of Parkmanship.
It does indeed.
All right. See you next time on Parkmanship.